answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Millions of spring break travelers are on the move, hacking airports, all while funding for the Department of Homeland Security is halted and 60,000 TSA workers are receiving their first $0 paycheck.
I have three kids, a wife who depend on me to go to work, and they depend on me to feed them, to take care of them.
It's a growing crisis. Denver Airport now asking travelers to donate food and gas cards. Food pantries opening up from JFK to Seattle.
I do plan on coming to work as long as I can. If I can't come to work, then I can guarantee you there's a lot of other people that are not going to be able to make it.
Since the shutdown, more than 300 TSA workers have quit and callouts have more than doubled.
That's the latest report on what's happening with TSA workers, because they have been going to work. They will be paid eventually, but that doesn't stave off the mortgage and the daily expense of living. And we're in this predicament, I'll remind you again, because the Democrats are trying to use it as a weapon. They'd all agreed to all of this previously, but then they decide, you know what, maybe we could hold this over Trump and rein in ICE. We want more impositions on ICE, more rules and controls and regulations. You can have that argument, but why put everything to a stop in the meantime? Well, that's what they did. This is the same package they had previously voted for, but then they thought, oh, wait a minute. Here's a chance to pick up some collateral on behalf of the leftist. I don't think it's working well for them. And it's going to get worse before it gets better, because as the American public is realizing more and more, a lot of their flights are just not going to be working. The flights may not be coming in. You want to know how bad it is getting? Southwest Airlines announcing that all flights servicing two major airports will be canceled in just months. And you could make that weeks. The airports included Dulles International Airport, Chicago O'Hare Airport. All will be canceled beginning June 4. That's according to the Chicago Times. Part of the issue is, if you don't have enough people at TSA to move people through at a rapid passenger experience that they like, then they're not going to fly, or they get ticked off. And then when planes cannot be filled on time, they can't make their destination. And then when one plane doesn't make its destination in time, the domino effect begins. You know that. It's as clear as anything else. A representative of the Southwest says, well, this is really just part of trying to redefine our network. That working out of O'Hare is pretty challenging. It just got more challenging with TSA workers not showing up for work because they're not getting paid, which means there's more stress on the others. You don't want to make it a budget issue? You want to make it strictly a labor issue? What's the difference if your plane is not flying? Welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors USA. We're here every day, 6 to 8 p.m. for you, except I'm giving you a heads up that tomorrow we'll also be on at noon. Jamie Allman will be off, so we will be, instead of the three martini lunch, serving shots during the Larry Connors USA program. You have to bring your own. But with Larry Connors USA, you're going to get news, analysis, commentary, and education. you leave each hour with more knowledge than you had when we began. That, I promise you. A little bit later, we're going to be talking to an expert on our security inside our nation, former LAPD information officer, internal affairs expert, talking about how police are trying to quietly tighten security nationwide. And you know why. Look at the shootings, the threats from the Islamists in our nation. It's not going to get better anytime soon. You'll hear from him later in this hour. Now back to the issue with the TSA. Secretary of Transportation Duffy says these TSA workers have been doing their job. Many will continue, but others realize they've got to feed their families.
So as you mentioned, TSA agents have missed a partial payment. They just missed a full payment. These are men and women who don't make a lot of money. And so some of them are making choices to go, you know, whether they're driving Uber or, you know, waiting tables. They have to put food on their family's table. And in these places where this is happening, you're seeing really long lines, whether they're 1 hour, 3 to 4 hour lines at airports. And I think if you stand in that line, it's one thing, Maria, if you're by yourself, but if you're with some little kids or any kids for 3 or 4 hours, yeah, it's horrible. And so you can thank a Democrat who cares more about making sure that the 15 million people that they let into this country under Joe Biden, that we don't have ICE that can actually look across the country, find those radical elements who've come into the country without, by the way, without being vetted, find them and deport them. This is what these Democrats want. And so my hope is that Democrats will come to their senses, open up DHS, and then have a negotiation, have a conversation. But in the process, don't hold America hostage to just get what you want.
But that's what they're doing. And they know it. And they think it will hurt the Republicans more than them at midterm. If we go through a summer, I don't think it's going to last that long. But any additional delays, and if other airlines decide, well, for whatever reason, we're going to begin to curtail flights, your plans for your summer vacation might be dead in the water right now, or you'll be getting a notice shortly. If you're planning on flying on Southwest Airlines and you've got tickets already into June, you should be getting a notice that we're going to cut service going into Chicago, the D.C. metro area, Washington International, Reagan National. They've operated our Midway's Southwest side in Chicago for 40 years, out of O'Hare since 2021, which is the nation's busiest airport. They're trying to continue all of it, but with the delays we've seen, and in part, you cannot deny, has to be with TSA. They're having to reconsider what they can do. The FAA did just meet with American Airlines and United to address a lot of the heavy traffic in and around O'Hare. That is a legitimate issue. Make no mistake about it. But the FAA is reporting, despite all the concern about the oil and fuel prices you keep hearing, this summer is on pace to be extremely busy. 3,000 plus daily flights scheduled out of O'Hare versus 2,600 last summer. Southwest will continue providing 270 flights and 79 nonstop destinations from Washington area airports. As you know, the announcement came down the other day that we are now sending 2,500 to 5,000 U.S. Marines into the Iranian area, not to invade Iran. Their mission is still not clear, and nor should it be that clear in public for you. But the left is already crying out, mission creep. We're going to invade Iran. I will stand with the left on this. I do not want U.S. boots invading Iran. if they're going in for specific missions in and out, I would support that. And I don't know all the details of what they would do, nor do you, nor should we. We don't want to jeopardize our young men and women any more than they would be. But Texas Congressman Crenshaw says there are a lot of reasons for them to be in place.
I don't think people should take that as a boots-on-the-ground deployment, especially with only 5,000 troops. These type of units are you know, they could be for evacuating American citizens out of Gulf allied countries. They could be for a number of things. So I take it as a seriousness of committing to the situation, which is exactly what is needed.
So obviously, Larry, Congressman Crenshaw, they were being a bit cautious, saying this shouldn't be seen as a boots-on-the-ground deployment. But as I said, you know, many lawmakers remain concerned the longer this conflict drags on.
Yeah, there's going to be concern, and the longer it drags on. That's a gimme. The California Senator Schiff is using this window of opportunity to make as much noise as he can.
I don't think the president has really leveled with the American people, first by promising the American people he wouldn't bring us into another foreign war, then being unwilling to tell us what the real cost of this war are going to be. And we still don't hear from the secretary, don't hear from the president what the real cost of this will be, how long it will go on. Already we've spent billions and billions of dollars, and more significant, we've lost 13 service members as a result of the war. And we still haven't heard a clear articulation of why we're at war. What was the imminent threat we were facing? They've said it was a nuclear threat, but the intelligence doesn't back that up. They said it was a threat of being hit at the in the United States by ballistic missiles. That is years and years away. They want regime change, but then they say they don't want regime change. And when you ask how long this war is going to go on, the secretary can't tell you, the president won't tell you, and it's because not having a clear object in mind when we began this war, it makes it very difficult to tell when its objectives have been accomplished. This is why I think the president was so vague with you when he wouldn't describe to you what kind of a deal is he looking for with Iran, because it just isn't clear. And now there's the prospect with the 31st Marine Expeditionary Force going to the region that we have boots on the ground. And I don't think they've leveled with us about that either. So I don't think the war is worth the costs, and it is already unleashed a lot of things that should have been foreseen, like the closing of the strait, like Iran's attack on its neighbors. But it's not clear that the president had a plan for any of this.
Of course, you could say that all day long. Obviously, he knew, any kind of intel agents would know, the Strait of Hormuz could be a choke point. We need to be aware of what's going to happen, how we would deal with it. I never heard, not one time, did I hear Adam Schiff raise any questions similar to that stature when Joe Biden was running the operations and escaping in the dark of night, leaving Americans and allies on their own against the Taliban. I never heard him question the cost of it. It's politics as usual. Of course, the other issue we have for this nation coming up is our midterm election. I cannot stress to you enough how important this is. Do not take it for granted that the Republicans will continue to hold the House. There's some hotly contested seats. And for that matter, they might lose some in the Senate if you're not on top of things. But the bigger issue is, are we going to have a free and fair election? Now, there is where voting integrity is essential. Listen to this report from CNNN on which voters want more voter ID.
Take a look here. Favorite photo ID to vote. 85% of white people favor it. 82% of Latino. 76% of black Americans favor it. So the bottom line is this. Voter ID is not controversial in this country. A photo ID to vote is not controversial in this country. It is not controversial by party, and it is not controversial by race. The vast majority of Americans agree with Nicki Minaj that, in fact, you should have a photo ID to be able to vote.
That is CNN's Harry Hinton, who does their profile on voting. I'll repeat the numbers for you. 76% of the black voters said, yeah, you should have a voter ID. 85% of the Latino voters said, yes, you should have a voter ID. Well, I thought that was the whole idea of having the voter ID is to keep people of color from voting. They are smarter than what the Democrats want to give them credit for. And I'm glad they're waking up and firing back at them. Tennessee Senator Hagerty.
Why should there be an issue when you have over 80% of the American population want to see this? More than 90% of Republicans, over 80% of independents, over 70% of Democrats want to see this. Yet you've got Democrats in the Senate, none of them want to step up and deal with this right now. These are issues that the American public want addressed. If you think about it, Leader Thune is going to put this on the floor Tuesday. He's going to put the SAVE Act on the floor Tuesday. Let's hear the Democrats try to defend why it is that we shouldn't have voter ID, why it is that people should be allowed to vote, I guess this is their goal, that are not American citizens. What we're trying to do is clean up a situation that's been a grave concern to Americans. We have to show ID for almost everything that we do here in America. I do not understand why exercising one of the most precious rights as an American is not one of those issues that the Democrats couldn't support. So we'll see. I plan to be on the floor, every moment of this coming week, battling this out, and I hope the American people will convey the message that you've heard to their Democrat legislators as well, so we can get this over the finish line.
It's common sense. I know that is a far stretch for some Democrats to understand common sense. What if I rephrase it this way? You must have a voter ID to purchase a gun, which is in fact true. But what if we said that's keeping people that need a gun from getting one? They don't have a voter ID. They don't have any way. They don't have any ID. They had to go get ID and all the rest of this. That's unfair. When they can buy it off the street thug on the corner. Of course, to protect our vote, we need voter ID. What are we going to do about the threat of terrorism inside our nation? My guest coming up can give you some specifics. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Previously, I've told you about dustless blasting, a special service offered by Wellington Environmental. It could work for you and your place. Recently, a crew removed a driveway sealer that had failed. The owner wanted to go back to the original concrete so it could be properly sealed. Dustless blasting worked. That homeowner is happy. Now, sometimes surfaces need pressure washing instead of blasting. In fact, there was an exterior stone fireplace cleansed by pressure washing. And when it dried, all the dark stain was gone. That stone had its original appearance. Wellington is versatile with blasting. Dustless blasting or whatever you need. They will evaluate and make a decision. How do you get them to your door? Very easy. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, making your world great. In fact, be safe, be well with Wellington Environmental. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. John Bill Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call John Bill to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 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 John Beal. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL.
I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling around the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
We have had several terrorist-related events inside our nation since the beginning of March. As you know, the other day, we had the situation in Virginia at the Old Dominion University. A former National Guardsman, convicted ISIS supporter, shot some victims there. In another, a vehicle ramming attack targeting a temple in West Bloomfield, Michigan. And, of course, in Austin the other day, we had another. And joining us to discuss these and how do we prepare for the future, former LAPD Public Information Officer, Internal Affairs Expert, Sergeant Marin Mariachi. Sergeant, glad to have you with us, sir. Marion, I should say. Glad to have you with us.
Thank you. Yeah, it's Marlon Mariachi, but it's okay. It's been a butcher throughout my career. So okay.
I apologize. When I looked at it, it looked like an L, and then it looked like an I. I wasn't sure. My apology. So let's begin. Let's begin with the incident. Sir. Let's begin with the incident of what happened in Austin the other day.
Yeah, it's tragic to say the least. I will always say that, you know, a loss of life is just devastating from every lens. And that's including the officers that got involved in the shooting. And so that kind of heightens your alertness, if you will, about what's going on, not so much just in Texas, but what's going on in the nation.
Now, in the Austin case, they had body-worn camera footage, and it shows them stopping a mass shooting suspect in under 60 seconds.
Yeah, and the average officer-involved shooting is anywhere, I want to say it's going to be close to less than 2 seconds. I mean, it happens in a split second, if you will. And so you definitely want to react and protect yourself and protect others and engage in deadly force, I should say. So, again, it's one of the situations where you have a suspect that has an agenda, correct, and decides to come with a high-power rifle, an assault rifle, and just decides to do that deed that we all are very concerned of and that we're all scared about. And so now the post-case of the OIS begins, meaning how to manage the scene and what kind of intel do we have as we move forward to see if there's really not just one suspect, but a whole bunch of different suspects and maybe a criminal enterprise or terrorist enterprise, I should say.
You're talking about a sleeper cell as a group of more than one versus one that's just disgruntled or for whatever reason. I think the guy in the, which one was it? Either the Virginia case, I can't recall, that he was from Lebanon, yeah, and he lost some family members killed in an Israeli or U.S. raid going after Hezbollah in Lebanon. So he was activated by that, but we have so many in this nation that came in unvetted. We don't know where they are or what their intention is.
Spot on. Look, the actual vetting has become such an issue in the last 4 to 6 years for that. You have sleeper cells that is alive and well, right? I mean, we know that there's actually people here that are carrying out orders, you know, for their religious beliefs or any other beliefs for that matter. And so we definitely have to be very cognizant. We definitely want to do a lot of vigilant activity, not just the police, but also all community members, all civilians, all citizens should be looking out and be aware of something that you just don't see that's quite normal. You definitely have to report that. I believe there's an app, or there used to be an app, you know, what you see, you know, report, you right. know, if right. you see it, report it.
Right. Well, how do we harden some of the soft targets?
One of the ways of doing that is to have this multifunctional and multi-jurisdictional operational of intelligence with many of the law enforcement agencies. And that ranges from the federal government all the way down to, I should say, federal agencies to state to local and county, where you give up resources to be part of a task force and really start pulling back the curtains and get that intelligence information to see where that's, in this case, being the suspect, you know, his whereabouts, family members, next of kin, his inner circle of friends, his outer circle of friends, all the activities that this particular individual has come in contact with are definitely leads for us to gather intelligence and to investigate.
And then the other day we had the story circulate that the FBI had issued a warning that drones might be off the coast of our, off of California, and they were put there in place by Iran, and they'd be fired into California. And, of course, right on the cusp of the Oscars being held. Thank goodness nothing happened. But the Oscar committee immediately rushed forward to all these Hollywood elites and said, you'll be safe. We have federal, state, and local authorities working together. In other words, they finally accept we need law enforcement.
100%. You know, this... for whatever reason, we seem to be divided when it comes to federal agencies and local and state agencies. And I've been saying this since the beginning, not just for this particular type of tragedy, but for any type of major operations, you definitely all want to be on the same stage. Working in silos is not going to get us anywhere. If we all work together, then we have the opportunity to capture these cells, in this case, right, these sleeper cells, way before they actually carry out any of their attacks. And so, yes, in regards to the drones, my understanding was that the governor came out and said that that was that information was not true. And checking with my LAPD personnel, that information was not vetted completely, and it was actually not as serious of a warning as they made it to be.
But the possibility is there. If they can get them on a ship and get them off our shore close enough, they will use it. But on top of that, inside our nation, how many can go buy a drone, weaponize it, and use it like a pressure cooker?
Very, very easily. And all of our major vulnerable points of entry can be very soft in that sense, meaning soft that where we don't have the personnel, we don't have the necessary tools and resources to conduct any type of checkpoints. I recall when I worked, there was a shooting in the Los Angeles World Airport, right? LAX, where we pretty much had a lot of resources, LAPD working with LAXPD, to make sure that every single terminal was manned with uniformed police. We did a lot of sweeps. We have bomb canine in the whole nine. So those kind of resources are very, very important. And as you and I both know, DHS right now is not funded. And so that really puts a dent.
It's frightening.
Or I should say more than a dent, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
it's frightening.
It puts a major plan into the research. Yeah, it's going to end up, you know, I hate to say this, but hopefully it doesn't bite us, you know?
Yeah, you hope we come away without a tragedy to get us back on track. But it's not just the long lines at the airport to go through checks. Some of the people that are working as TSA agents, they're overworked, they're tired. It would not, as you well know, a terrorist just needs one opportunity to get through. We've got to stop all of them.
That's correct. 100%. You mentioned being overworked. We call that in our culture burnout. You continue to work 12 hours, 16 hours for what, 7-8 days in a row, maybe sometimes even 11. Yes, you're not fully alert. You're not fully focused. And so when you start defunding, a very, very important tool, right? A very important resource, a very important agency, department, to be able to avoid any tragedies. It's going to hurt us. Definitely, we're going to get vulnerable.
In the last minute, I don't want this to go by without talking about a parallel public safety priority: preventing hate crimes and protecting American citizens of Mideast descent.
Yeah, well, I would say is there is an app called If You See Something, Say Something. And that particular app, which I want to say started maybe 10 years ago, you're able to see something that is strange to you, something that's not normal, something that's very unusual, any activity. You need to get on that app and definitely inform the local agencies about that particular activity and be precise and detailed about the information that you're giving.
But how do you avoid hate crimes? How do you avoid hate crimes in the process?
Good question. We would have to, it's one of those situations where the FBI and other agencies are just working behind the scenes to try to avoid and see what kind of intel you can get from all these, radical individuals who are going to try to carry out a major attack. And to be quite honest with you, I don't know if there's any type of way to avoid it besides the fact that you just need to report it and just be very vigilant and cognizant about what's going around you.
Well, again, you've been listening to former Los Angeles Public Department Public Information Officer and Internal Affairs Expert, Sergeant Marlon Maracci. I'd like to have you back on a future date, sir.
Definitely, most definitely. And thank you for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
You bet, and hopefully it won't be following a tragedy, but to look forward to it.
I yes. God bless.
God bless. Sergeant, appreciate it. Coming up, an Iranian woman says you need to be aware what some Iranians in this country truly are jihadists and what they want from you.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. When I have business clients or guests from out of town, I often take them to Cafe Napoli. I know they're going to enjoy any of the Napoli locations. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, next to Napoli C, Napoli Kirkwood, or Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Excellent food and intellectual conversation. If they bring the intellectual conversation. NapoliSTL.com. NapoliSTL.com. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold radiation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington.
This is News Talk STL.
Jimmy's in the back with a pocket of high. If you listen close, you can hear him cry. Oh, Lord, heaven knows we belong way down below. Sing it.
Oh, Lord, heaven knows we belong way down below.
Way down below.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I cannot get out of my mind that... Let me explain this to you. We're on U.S. soil, in front of the White House. And we, as Iranian people that have had to leave Iran, our families had to leave Iran for safety, we, on American soil, had to face Islamic regime lobbies, Islamic regime supporters... We had to face the IRGC in front of the White House. We were sideswiped by the Mujahideen, which is another terrorist organization. These two organizations have a huge lobby in the United States, in DC. They have infiltrated your country.
Mm-hmm.
Let what happened to the Iranian people and what I am telling you right now, let this sink into your brain. Don't ignore what I am saying. Protect your country.
That is an Iranian woman. And what she made a point of is very clear. We have Iranians that support the regime that's under attack now. And we have Iranians here that want to claim they are an American, but they really have not America at heart and their concern, but Allah. And they look at America as a great Satan. And they're in our midst. And they have lobby groups, yes, good paid lobby groups, doing their work on Capitol Hill. That's how you get some of these Iranian leftists voted into office, be they out of Minnesota or somewhere else where you have a large population of those who want jihad in this nation. We were talking a moment ago with a Los Angeles retired police lieutenant officer on dealing with these kinds of threats. Let me go back over what we saw over the last week. The attack at the mayor's residence in New York City. An attack at a Michigan synagogue. And then the attack at Old Dominion University in Virginia. Three specific events. And the thing that is absolutely befuddling and irritating and absolutely maddening is that every three mentioned, they were all saying, well, we don't really know the motive. You know the motive. Look at the culprits carrying it out. Look at the targets. They're clearly looking to destabilize our government, looking to kill Americans. The New York City attack outside Gracie Mansion, two men from Pennsylvania, according to the charging documents, they were trying to hurt those taking part in a protest at the mayor's mansion. They made explosive devices containing a material that is not readily available. Fortunately, no one was really hurt. Then we had the attack at Old Dominion University. The victim was killed. That was be the guy that was going to kill everyone else, but he got cut down. Actually, members of the Old Dominion Guard, I should say, not the Guard, but the ROCC members grabbed him and took him out. And then you have the attack at a synagogue outside Detroit when a guy drives a pickup loaded with explosives right to the front door and starts opening fire. But thank goodness they have guards on hand and they cut him down. And then his vehicle blew up. Either he had a dead man trigger in his hand and when he relaxed his grip, it went off, or he had set it to go off anyway. Those are just three last week. How many more do we have to have? And you have to keep in mind, even if you're on the far left and think we need to be more accepting and just take people at their word that they want to be assimilating, not destroying our nation. When they come to an event where your children are attending, and I'm speaking to those on the left in particular, are you going to be happy the fact that they are in there and they set off a device? Because your child that's just there for maybe a drag queen concert, you let your child go to it, and that's what they got. Or maybe it's just a church service, a Bible study, a summer vacation Bible school. They're going to be looking for soft targets. Soft targets quickly identified by any place that has signs posted everywhere, no guns allowed. Do you think the terrorist is going to read your sign and pay attention to it? You might as well put no bombing allowed, no killing allowed. That's not going to stop them. And in fact, you have now made that a target-rich zone. They know they can go in and carry out numerous slayings, murders, before anyone could possibly stop them. I told you before, and I know several churches that have done this. They now have members of their own congregations that are carrying during the service. They've been trained to use it, the weapon, effectively. And hopefully they would. And many also employ off-duty police officers. And some might actually be members of the same congregation. But they're there in the pew with their family, and they're packing. And they're watching anyone and everyone and how they come and go. Which is something you should do anytime you walk in to any facility. Be it a restaurant, a theater, a bar, look immediately and identify exits and entrances in case you need to go immediately to get out. This is the kind of training that's incumbent upon you to protect yourself and your family. Then you get folks like Mondami in New York saying, our whole nation, we should really consider what we need in our nation is more Islam, less Christianity, no Jews, and in fact, no Christianity. But Islam will help us as a nation grow, and that's what I'm trying to do in New York City.
And I consider my own faith, Islam, a religion built upon a narrative of migration. The story of the Hijra reminds us that Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was a stranger too, who fled Mecca and was welcomed in Medina. Surah An-Nahl 16:42 tells us, as for those who immigrated in the cause of Allah after being persecuted, we will surely bless them with a good home in this world. Or as the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Islam began as something strange and will go back to being strange.
Now I'm not going to get into a theology discussion or argument with him. And if you're a Muslim who believes in live and let live and that's your religion, I have no issue with you. I have an issue with Muslims who decry jihad, and they want to kill anyone who's not following the Quran as they see it. If you go through the Old Testament, you're going to find numerous occasions where God used his power and his might to let nations be destroyed by their enemies. He always held on to a remnant, a thread of a civilization to give them a chance to start again, see if he can do it right this time. Obviously, he's a God of patience, because you look at how many times that we have started over and how many times we blew it apart again. Men and women can live in peace. They really can. Unless they are bound determined to subjugate others to their rule. And when I say subjugate, I mean lock you in chains and take control of you and your children. If you look at a school full of children, young children, 3 to 5 years old, playing in the playroom, black, white, yellow, red, Jewish, Catholic, Buddhist, Muslim, these kids are just playing. They don't get into name-calling and fighting and race-baiting until their parents get involved. Oh, that we could all be like children. And then you get some adults that continue to make up history as they go about it. You heard Zoran Mandami saying, we need to be a nation of immigrants. We are a nation of immigrants. And we're willing to have migration continue with set laws in place, but that does not include illegal immigration. But if you listen to Congressman Yayapal, this country was built by so many groups that are not really part of the, quote, immigrant factor.
The majority of Americans across the country, regardless of political party, know that immigrants from all over the world, Somalia, India, wherever they're from, Latin America, Africa, that immigrants have built this country and make this country what it is today.
No, I don't know what Somalians have done to build this country. And I'm not knocking them. I just know that they don't exist in large enough number to build this country. Indians, if you're talking about from India, yes. If you're talking about native Indians, yes. Latinos, yes. Africans, yes. But often brought on a slave ship. But now are contributing. And we're trying to move past that stain on our nation. Last night, I didn't bother watching the Oscars. Maybe you did. I expected the normal nonsense, and I just wasn't going to stomach it, was not going to bother watching it. But there was a piece, therefore, I missed, and I'm glad to play it for you again, because if you weren't watching, you missed it also. This is the man who won Best Actor, beginning his acceptance speech by praising God.
And the Oscar goes to Michael B. Jordan.
Man. God is good. God is good. And, yeah, mama, what's up? Y'all know how I feel about my mother and my father's here. Your pops, where you at? My dad came in from Ghana. He flew in from Ghana to be here. My brother, my sister's here, my family. I want to thank Warner Brothers. I want to thank Mike and Pam for believing in this dream, this vision of Ryan Coogler and betting on a culture and betting on original ideas and original artistry. And you're an amazing, amazing person. I'm so honored to call you a collaborator and a friend. And you gave me the opportunity and space for me to be seen. And I love you too, bro. I love you to death.
Michael B. Jordan, the one best actor. For a movie titled Sinners, I have not seen it. I don't know anything about it. But the fact that he stood there in the midst of all of them and began by saying, God is good. Oh, I could almost hear the audience gasp, don't begin that, Michael. God is good. Because we got protesters here at the Academy Awards wearing pins say, be good, ice out. And then you even had a remark from, and I like Harvey R. Bardem. I like him on his acting ability. But then he had to make a Free Palestine remark at the Oscars, saying it's important that you understand you can be part of the movie-making community and also be a citizen who uses this huge speaker to denounce injustice. Free Palestine, that's injustice. Are you also going to denounce Hamas? If you want a Free Palestine remark, go ahead. Add a declaration that Hamas is made of killers and cowards. By the way, Michael B. Jordan, his date for the Emmys last night was his mother. Not some starlet dressed in skimpy nothing, his mother. And he made sure he had a ticket there for his father, as he said, who had flown in from Guyana. But I praise him for making it very clear, a statement we all should accept, acknowledge, and praise. God is good. You can catch us tomorrow at noon during the Jamie Allman as he takes a break, the three martini lunch, and again here at 6 to 8 tomorrow evening. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.